This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Good morning and welcome to the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM. Listen and Leave. You're also live on Hope TV, Look and Leave, and on our social media platforms at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. My name is Grace Mutiso and welcome to the program. I hope you're well and we're glad that you could join us. Leadership Forum is the program where we discuss all matters leaders and all matters followers. And we always look forward to receiving your feedback and engagement. And our WhatsApp line is already open on 0717400555. Our SMS line is 20933. And you can engage with us at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. And of course, we salute you for listening and tuning in. We began a series called Depths That Leaders Face. We did two sessions just on one, depth number one, lack of a vision or depth of it. And we are back with this session today. And we are glad to have Reverend Dr. David Ogende. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
You well?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
I feel like saying Baba while you're away.
You're free to say so. What happened?
Yeah. We missed you in the program.
Yeah, I listened to that program. Very dynamic. With our sister Edna. And it was very good.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was listening. To you people.
And we learned a lot on
how we
need to value people, value preposition.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Asante.
I thought you should have continued. That was very good.
Asante. Yeah. So we get back to the topic we began on deaths that leaders face. Maybe a quick roundup for those who missed a few highlights on the first death we called lack of a vision or death of it. Then we can pick it up from there.
All right. Yes, we talked about vision as a critical component of leadership. Actually, we said that vision is what drives leadership. Leaders are people who give us direction towards a particular vision. And so when vision dies, then you can see why leadership will be difficult. And we pointed out various issues, things that would happen when the leader either loses vision or deviates from the mission, or actually the vision dies completely, that people really have lost what it is that they were pursuing. So that can put an organization in such a place that obviously they will face a decline, or they can face a detour, that you find an organization is now doing something completely different from what was their original goal or reason for existence. And we gave several examples of organizations that said they were going in a particular direction. The founders were very clear in their minds as to what they wanted to achieve, what they wanted to do. But along the way, other people came, and that vision eventually either drifted or actually died.
No, died, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So the organization is either dead or it is still alive by name, but it is not achieving or doing that which it was created for. What Jesus would tell the churches, that they have a name but they are dead. You know. Yes. So it is no longer there. So we looked into great detail some of the things that would therefore happen if a leader loses their vision or if an organization loses their vision.
Okay.
Yes.
So what do you have for us today?
Today we are talking about Hope FM. What happens if hope dies?
Oh my. We refuse to die.
We refuse to die. You shall not die.
You shall live.
Declare.
Amen.
No, but we are looking at the place of hope in leadership.
Yes.
I know many times we don't talk about hope and leadership. We talk about hope at individual level.
Yes.
But hope, as we know, is a critical factor in our lives as human beings. In fact, no one can live a single day if they have no hope. When you find that a person has committed suicide, behind that suicide was that they reached the place where they had no hope. So when you get to that place, death is the only option. If a person loses hope, you can be in great trouble, you can be in great difficulties, you can be facing challenges, you can be sick with a terminal disease and whatever, but as long as you still have hope, you will live. Interesting, because you Hope FM is listen and live.
And hope doesn't disappoint.
Hope does not disappoint.
Yes.
So hope is really what keeps us alive. It's like the breath of air that keeps us alive. The moment it is gone, you are also gone. So we do know that about individuals and persons, but the same happens for organizations.
Yes.
And happens to leaders. Because the leadership experience is can be very demanding, can be very taxing, can call for great sacrifice, can be confusing. You can get into a place of great uncertainty where you do not know what is going to happen next. And the only thing that can keep a leader going is hope. That something, a new day will come. A new dawn will arise, that in the midst of darkness, we can rise again.
Yes.
And when you find leaders with that kind of perspective to life, they inspire their followers, because the people, the team members may be looking at the situation and they feel like there's no hope here. This thing is dead. Some people even take off, you know, and you have known people who say, hey, let me get out of here before this thing sinks.
Yeah.
Because they can see that this thing is going to sink.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be part of it. They don't want to sink with it. And so they jump ship and they go to other places. They look for other things to do, or even just go back home and watch the ship sink from a distance. They don't want to be part of it. But in that circumstance, the only thing that can keep people going is a leader who inspires hope.
Yeah.
Who can say, yes, things are bad, but we are going to turn around.
Yes.
Things are going to be better. And we have seen situations where we have such kinds of leaders who have been able to turn things around and inspire their team members because of the hope that they hold that things can be better. And that can happen at the top level of leadership, say at national level, where a leader of a country, things are really going bad, but they inspire hope. They rally the people and say, let's do this, and we'll be able to get out of this situation. And countries have turned around. Nations have turned around because of that hope that is inspired by the leader. And it can go all the way down to a family.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Family level, where you are at bottom of bottom. I mean, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
And there seems to be no future. There seems to be nothing that is happening. But you find a family leader, it can be the wife, it can be the husband, it can be even a child who comes out and say, we can get out of this. We can turn this around. Things can turn around. And they inspire hope that then helps people to get back to work and to begin to look at things differently so that they are able to move forward and things then begin to look up.
Mm.
So hope is such a critical ingredient in leadership that you cannot lead, especially in the times that we are in, without inspiring that hope.
Yes.
You remember, or you may remember, Barack Obama.
Mm.
When he came in,
yes,
to be president in 2008, America was going through a serious economic recession. Things were really looking down. Things were bad. Many people had been laid off. Companies had shut down. And everything that was just looking gloomy and so bad in every respect. Big companies were struggling. But he came up with this, yes, we can.
The slogan. Yes.
The slogan, mm. Yes, we can. Mm. We can turn this around.
Yes.
We can. Things can be different. And he inspired such hope that stirred at everybody. And that's what catapulted him into leadership.
Mm.
That's what took him into becoming the first African-American president against all odds. Even those people who didn't like him had no otherwise but to just say, this guy seemed to know something that we don't know.
Mm.
And they rallied behind him. And for two consecutive terms, he was able to turn the country around just because of hope that he inspired and instilled in the people.
Mm.
And companies turned around. Individuals were able to get to back to work and do the things that they are able to do just because of that inspiration of hope.
Yes.
Hope, I cannot preach about it more than that, because there's a way in which hope just turns things around. And when a leader is a person that inspires hope, people will rally behind them. Organizations will look up. You can go through transformation and change in any kind of difficult situation. When COVID-19 hit us a few years back, well, not too long ago,
yes,
we do know that organizations of every kind went through stresses and difficulties. Some died.
Mm.
Why did they die? I want to believe that the leaders in those organizations got to the point where they said, let's just shut down and go home.
Mm.
And they shut down and went home. But there were other leaders who inspired their people to believe that this is our time.
Mm.
And in the midst of that crisis, they were able to turn their organizations to great success. Some of them made the biggest breakthroughs in those seasons. Some of them expanded in that season. What was the difference? And this was across all sectors, church included. There were churches that shut down and never opened. But there are churches that grew and multiplied membership during that season. There are businesses that shut down, but there are businesses that looked up and grew in that season. There are countries that lost people. There are countries that actually stood resilient during that time.
Yes.
All of it based on leadership.
Mm.
Leadership. So one of the deaths that leaders face is the death of hope. If you get to that place where things are so bad, the monies are not there, the business is going only south, what keeps you? How do you maintain and retain in that time? We call it organizational resilience.
Yes.
How you stay on in the midst of challenges and difficulties. Organizational resilience is driven by hope. Hope. So what therefore happens if hope dies?
Mm.
or if hope diminishes. When a leader loses hope, it's like the organization, the team, is actually dead.
Mm.
It lowers morale of the team members. Because like we have said, hope is what motivates. Hope is what inspires in the midst of challenges and difficulties. So the absence of it can only bring the opposite.
Yes.
That when there is no hope, motivation goes down. Mm. Inspiration goes down. Mm. Vision dies. Mm. People can't see far, you know?
Yes.
Imagine you go to your team leader and you can see that things are really bad. And the only thing they can tell you is, yeah, anyway, things are bad.
I don't know.
I actually don't know how we can get out of this.
Oh, my.
I actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can live there with bouncing.
Mm-mm.
No. You just, if you can't get out of this ship before it sinks. Because the leader himself is already confessing that things are bad.
Yeah.
I can't see where we are, how we can get out of this. There's no hope here. You even try to give some suggestions as to some of the things that could be done. But all they can tell you, I don't think it can work.
Mm.
Not in the current circumstances.
Yes.
The way I see things, that's a good idea, but I don't think it can work. There's no way you can have morale. There's no way you can continue working there. But if you go into an office and things are really bad, and you're talking to your boss and you're telling them, you know, boss, things are really bad, my department, you know this, and they are telling you, no, this, we are turning things around. I know about this and I know about this and this can be done and this can be done. Have you thought about this? Have you tried this? You leave there feeling like maybe I was not seeing these things the same way as I was seeing.
Yes.
My good friend Nehemiah is a great example. 16 years these people have sat and lived with the rubble. The walls are broken, the gates are burned, they are living in insecurity, they are living in disgrace. They cannot think of what can be done to turn things around. And they're just there, hopeless. So when Hanani comes to Nehemiah and reports the situation, it is such a gloomy thing. We are in disgrace, the gates are burned, the walls are broken, people are in such a bad state. And Nehemiah just falls down and cries and prays. But Nehemiah is a man of hope.
Yes.
And so he prays that he would get favor with the king, and indeed he did. And when he gets to Jerusalem, his first message is, do you see the disgrace that we are in? And of course, that one, they didn't need exposition. But he also tells them, he says, and I told them of the hand of the Lord that was upon me.
Yeah.
And he began to tell them what had actually happened and how they can actually rebuild the wall and the materials he has and the support of the king and what. And everybody said, let's rebuild. These same people who had been there for 16 years thinking this is an impossibility, all were inspired to begin to build again. Their morale was boosted, and 52 short days, the walls were done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't overemphasize the whole issue of hope in leadership. When hope dies, be sure that your organization
dies.
Is on its deathbed. It is going to die unless something has happened.
Mm.
If hope dies, be sure your team is going to be scattered.
Mm.
They cannot produce at the level that they are supposed to produce. Hope decreases productivity, obviously, because when people are demoralized, death of hope decreases productivity and performance. because when people are demoralized, they cannot perform. People are so dejected. You'll find people sitting in corners talking in low tones, you know, depending on how big your organization is. So you find a few people here that they are sitting in deep, and they are all talking in low tones. So now what is going to happen? What is our future here? For me, I'm looking for another job. You know, I'm trying to find this and that. Nobody is inspired. And when the leader comes and adds pours water into the little hope that was there,
yes,
that team is dead.
Mm, true.
That team is dead.
Yeah.
So hope is so so critical. Hope is often the driving force behind vision. Vision is important. And as we talked over the last several weeks about the significance of vision, but no vision can be pursued without hope. And so when hope dies, actually it blurs your vision.
Yes.
When hope dies, it's like somebody has thrown mud on your windscreen.
Can't see.
You can't see.
Yes.
You know, yes. Anything that anybody says, he said, it can't work.
Mm.
That can't work. Everything looks gloomy. Everything looks impossible. So when a leader in particular loses their hope, they cannot see far. Because every time they open their eyes, they only see darkness. They only see obstacles. They only see difficulties. They only see challenges. They only see how this cannot work. And that vision will die without doubt. It will die because your vision is like cut off by the fact that you do not have hope.
Yeah.
In the midst of these challenges. Let me just pause there and hear any comments that might come from you or others.
Mm. Not yet from others. So our listeners and our viewers, please keep your questions coming on 0717-400-555 or our SMS line 20933. We'll be getting to your questions and comments in a short while. You know, Bishop, as you've been talking, I've just been thinking, so I don't know if I'm going ahead of myself.
You're free to. It means you have hope.
Now that you're at hope.
Yes.
So how can this leader who totally has lost hope come back, revive back the hope so that the organization does not die?
Hope. I don't know whether you lived, you are old enough to have lived in the days of cranking.
What's
have you ever heard of cranking?
What is that?
What is that? Cranking of an engine.
Mm-mm.
You never lived in those days. You are
no,
a little
Bishop.
Girl.
No.
In the good old days,
yes.
The big engines like our bus or a lorry, a truck, and even sometimes pickups. Mm. The way they would be started was by cranking. So there was, the a metal bar, like the one that we use these days for lifting a jack, you know?
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
That is L-shaped,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So there would be somewhere at the front of the vehicle where you would put that metal and then you turn. And the engine starts.
Okay.
It was called cranking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the big engines were not started by a key.
Mm.
It was started by cranking.
Like the double buses. I remember double buses. That's how they were being started?
Not just or any buses.
Oh.
Any buses. Any big engine, let me say. Any big engine. Even Porsche mills. That's how Porsche mills were started. You know, I think most diesel Porsche mills are still started that way.
Porsche mill, I remember, yes.
That one you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, now that was done even for vehicles. So there was that cranking so that the engine can start. Why I'm using that example is that when hope is lost, you need cranking. Mm-hmm. You need cranking.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Because hope is what stirs up everything within you.
Yes.
Within a person.
Mm.
So when it is lost, there is almost no way you can self-start. You cannot self-start.
Okay.
So hope has to be injected. Is that what the latest word? Hashtag inject.
Yes.
Yes. Hope has to be injected from outside.
So another person.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to come from outside.
Mm.
When you have lost hope, it is very difficult. If it is on the way of dying, it can be revived. But if you have lost hope, you need an injection from outside. That's why we have counselors. You know, what does a counselor do is to crank up your hope, to let you know that, yes, things are bad, but they are not as bad as you are seeing.
Yes.
There are still things you can do. There are opportunities available and so on and so forth. For organizations, you get in consultants who can come and look at what you are doing and let you know that these are possibilities, these are things you can do, here is where you can go, and so on and so forth. Because lost hope cannot be got from inside. It has to be cranked from outside. That's the unfortunate thing. Everything else you can stir up from within.
Mm.
But when you have lost hope, that's why I said people who have lost hope completely, they just commit suicide.
Mm.
You know, that's the ultimate. Because that person has reached a point where they cannot see anything. They cannot see any possibilities. They cannot see how they can face the future. And they just feel life is not worth living. That's how people die. You know, that person's hope has died.
Yeah.
And it is only if somebody else comes in good time to show them that everything is not lost, life is still worth living, and so on and so forth, that hope begins to be rekindled.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
By a cranking from outside, you know?
Mm.
So somebody has just come in and plug in that tumor in your head.
Do the mixology thing.
Exactly. So that then you begin to see again.
Yeah.
You begin to, you know, your engine comes back to life and you're able to face the future. So that's how bad hope is. That's how critical hope is. Not bad. But that's how bad the loss of hope is. Whether it is an organization or an individual or a family or a group or whatever,
yeah.
When you lose your hope, it's like you cannot move any further. So it requires an injection from outside. It requires an infusion from outside. It requires somebody to rekindle that hope from outside. If you have embers of hope, like we say, embers of hope.
Yes.
In other words, hope is dying, but there's still
a small,
you could possibly inspire yourself, but you cannot. Even that self-inspiration will come from an external source.
Mm.
For example, reading a book, watching a movie, going for a prayer meeting, reading your Bible, those kinds of things. Then they begin to stir up the embers that were dying to fan into flame.
Yes.
And you get back to yourself. But on your own, without any external input, it is very difficult to stir up hope. Yeah.
Okay.
You just need that external help. And today we are here to crank up a few
of the leaders.
A few leaders who may be in that state of losing hope. Because we are living in a time that obviously is very challenging for many leaders. of organizations, businesses, even at families and individuals, that it is very easy to lose hope. I talk to Kenyans, and I think most of us are not crankers. They are. We pour water into even the little embers that were left. Ah, this country, oh, this country. Oh. That's what you, especially if you're in social media, the only thing you hear is how bad things are and how worse they are going to get and how difficult life is being. And that cannot stir hope. That cannot help us to move forward. In some nations, even when they go through difficulties, the conversation is, we can make it. Mm. We can turn this around.
Yeah.
We can, you know. And those people go very far. Not Kenyans. Kenyans see just how bad things are and how it's getting worse and how I am thinking of leaving this country and how. We can't go very far with that.
Yeah.
So let's be people of hope, especially as leaders. Let's spur up our members. Let's stir one another to love and good works, to do things, you know, to change our circumstances. That's what will create a great organization. That's what will create a great country. That's what will create a great family.
Yes.
When we stir up hope within ourselves. Hope also, loss of hope, creates stress and anxiety. Where there is no hope, you'll find that people are very stressed up. Mm-hmm. Go to an organization where things are not working and there's no inspiration. Everybody is gloomy, everybody is grouchy, everybody is fighting, angry. You ask even a simple question, they answer you so badly. So rudely. It tells you that this something is just not right.
Yeah.
But where there is an inspirational leader, where there is a leader who inspires hope, they can be going through difficulties. But you can see the members of that organization are excited. They're excited about serving their customers and their clients. They're excited about the way they do things. And you wonder, why would they be so excited and things are really so bad, you know? Because you, as an external observer, you can just see that this thing is really not in good shape. But the people in there are so inspired and so excited. It means that there's a person in there who is inspiring hope, who is helping these people to realize that all is not lost. We can make it. But when that is not there, people get stressed up. People get anxious, people get depressed because they just can't see where things are going. If it is a family, everybody is gloomy, everybody is fighting with each other, they answer one another rudely because you are stressed up, you are anxious, you don't know where is this going to end up, you know?
Yes.
So lack of hope can create that kind of a situation where people become very, very anxious because uncertainty brings anxiety.
Yes.
When you're not sure about tomorrow, you don't even know how to live today. So you spend today thinking about tomorrow.
Being worried.
Getting worried about it. And that undermines everything. If you can't do your work today because you're worried about tomorrow, it means that you're losing both today and tomorrow in that process.
Yes.
So stress, emotional, sometimes people get into burnout because they're just stressed up and they cannot do anything. It also, loss of hope makes people to resist any proposals for change. Because people would rather stay with the problem they know than go into something they don't know. Because it's like, if we are this bad, what if we try and it fails?
The what if?
Yes. So people are afraid to venture out. People are afraid to try new things. People are afraid to innovate and to be creative, because they just think that let's hang on to what we have. Let's not try something else. It could just be that what you have in hand could be lost in the process, and then now you have nothing. So you find people in an organization where, especially the leader, has lost hope. Like I said earlier, you even make proposals to them. They tell you, no, I don't think that can work. We have tried that before. Oh, no. I had this and this organization try something like that. It never worked for them. Because they can't see far.
Yes.
And so the idea of creativity, change, doing things differently does not even arise. The people are in that state where let's just maintain what we have.
Status quo.
Remain with the status quo. We don't want to try other things. We don't have the resources. We don't know whether it will work. That uncertainty is what makes people to become very risk averse. You do not want to take risks because you then become, it's like you're moving from the frying pan
into the fire. Yeah.
So that's the other impact or effect of loss of hope. Loss of hope. The last thing perhaps I could say here is just the negative environment it creates. I have alluded to it, but when there is no hope, it creates that negative environment, what sometimes we call toxic environment. Because everybody is gloomy, everybody is negative, everybody is stressed up, everybody is anxious, all the things that we have said. Can you imagine living in that place?
Disaster.
You will die.
Yes.
You know?
You will choke.
Because it is, everything is so bad, everything is so dark. Even when the sun is shining outside, you can't see it, you only see darkness.
True.
Because all that people can say is the bad things that are happening, and the bad things that are going to happen, and the bad things that could happen. It creates a very negative environment to operate in.
Yes.
And like you said, people can choke out of that smoke of negativity. Because you just feel like, wow. You leave your home and you enter into that space and you feel like you're about to die.
Yeah.
And people therefore don't look forward to even going to work. People don't look forward to getting into that team meeting. People don't look forward because it is all negative.
Yes.
It's all doom and gloom. And that can actually kill the team, can kill the organization. Yeah, so let me pause there.
Okay. So allow us to sample a few comments that have come through. Remember, our WhatsApp line is 0717-400-555. And you can also talk to us on 0717-400-555 and 20933. Yes. Asante sana. Sarah from Tigoni, I hope you're able to get us clear now. Asante sana for tuning in. Somebody else says the place of hope in leadership was blessed with your teaching at GLS, Bishop. I believe this is addressed to you, GLS, on your frequency of value of integrity. What message of hope do you have for leaders that try their best to practice integrity, but they face threats of denied opportunity simply because of their stand of integrity? Off a bit from our topic. But you can say something on that.
Yes. Many of the people who stand for integrity. That is their experience. And when I was speaking at the Global Leadership Summit, the GLS on Friday, that's what I was telling the team there, the people there, that integrity is not only a frowned upon, but actually fought by people who don't like, who love darkness. Because the integrity is like shining light into a dark situation. So people who like darkness will obviously turn against you and fight you. And just using biblical records, Joseph was in prison for 2 years for standing for integrity. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions for standing for integrity. And we can come into contemporary times. Even in our own country, I gave the example of people like Githongo who had to flee the country for standing for integrity. So what I would say is this. When you choose to stand for integrity and to live a life of integrity, you should also be prepared for the possible consequences. Mm-hmm. So that when now you face those circumstances, it doesn't come to you as a surprise. Because sometimes people think that because I'm a person of integrity, people will applaud me, you know, people will love me, people will, you know. No, not at all. Mm-mm. So, because you are pricking their conscience, you know, people will ask you like, "Why are you doing this?" You know, they don't want to follow your ways because the path of unrighteousness is much easier. That road is broader. It has many more people. So, when you stand in this path of righteousness and the path of integrity, just be sure that you are going to be in a place where people may not like you. In some cases, depending on the context, some cases it may just people shunning you, sometimes in very subtle ways, but it can go to the extreme. People have even been killed.
Oh, no.
You know? Yes. Daniel, when he was thrown in the den of lions, they were not sending him there to go and play with the lions.
No, he was to die.
He was to die.
He refused to die.
Yes. But people have died.
Yeah.
People have been killed for standing for integrity. So expect that. Sometimes I tell people who tell me, "No, Bishop, are you seeing what people are saying in the social media about you and so on? How do you feel?" And I tell them, you know, when you go to build a mud house, expect that you will be muddy. You know? You cannot then say, "Why are you throwing mud at me?" Because you are building, you know, back in the village, we used to build these mud houses and we invite people to come and help us on the day of mudding the walls.
Yes.
You can't come in white clothes.
No.
No. Mm. And then you say, "Oh, you have thrown mud at me." Oh, no. When you come into that space, you are ready that mud will be thrown at you.
Yeah.
So it then doesn't take you too much by surprise.
Mm.
Otherwise, you cannot walk that path. Yeah.
Okay. You have to count the cost.
Count the cost.
Aye. This one's saying, cranking is commonly done to start tuk-tuks using a rope at the back of the car presently, also in many water pumps today. Okay.
Yeah.
So people know about
By the way, the piki-pikis are cranked. You know, when you kick that...
That thing down there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's cranking.
That is cranking.
Now I know. Let's catch up with the news at noon. When we come back, we'll continue with our topic of today. Please get us your questions and comments. Our SMS line is 20933. Our WhatsApp line is 0717-400-555. You're also live on Facebook and YouTube at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya.
Listen and live on 93.3 FM in Nairobi, 93.9 Western Kenya, and 101.9 Mombasa.
And you're on the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM, Listen and Leave. And we're glad that you could join us. We are also live on Hope TV and on our social media platforms. And we are glad that you could join us. We are on the topic, deaths that leaders face. This is our third session. Yes, not third, but third session. And you're focusing on death of hope. Do you have any question or comment? Engage with us on 0717-400-555, or you can also talk to us on 20933. We'll be tackling your questions before we wrap up the program. This is the final hour. Before we went on the break, we were talking about the loss of hope, having creating a negative environment for work. We talked about toxic environment if you lose hope. So allow us to pick it up from there, Bishop.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, we were talking about the consequences of losing hope. You had asked a question as we began, what can be done? So I thought maybe you can pursue that in this next segment. What can we do, or what can a leader do if they have lost hope, or if hope is dying? And the first one we said when we talked about cranking,
yes,
is to seek help. Especially where hope is almost dead, you may need somebody to help you see things differently. Because sometimes when you are in a situation, you are only seeing things from your perspective. And your perspective is already gloomy. So the more you stay there, the more you look at it, the worse it gets. But sometimes when by just going to talk to someone, explain the situation, allow them to ask you critical questions, you may find that they begin to look at that situation from a different perspective that actually rekindles hope,
yeah,
you know, and gets you to the place where you think, there's something that still we can do, you know. And that's what we call counseling or advice or whatever you call it. But you are going to a third party or another person who is not involved in the situation,
yes,
who is not in it, but can listen to you as a sounding board and just analyze the situation and give you possibilities,
yes,
of what could be done, how you could go around it, or actually pronounce that that situation is dead.
We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that is also a possibility. You could be fighting over a dead, you know,
la, la, la.
Over a dead horse, you know, you are flogging a dead horse. Let's just let it die.
Okay.
That is also advice.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we are struggling to revive that which is already dead. And no matter how much resources you put into it, no matter how much energy you put into it, you are actually going nowhere. And that in itself can be very frustrating. So somebody who can just tell you, please, this one is dead, just allow it. Let's start afresh.
Okay.
That is also advice. But basically what we are saying, seek support. Look for somebody to talk to. Look for someone who can listen to you, hear your story, hear the circumstances, and just offer insight, wisdom on what could be done in that situation. And you might be surprised. Somebody may just say something that actually triggers,
yes,
a thought that was in you, but you never could not access it because of the gloomy situation that you found yourself in.
Yes.
So that has been found to work. Like I said, it is the external injection of ideas, of inspiration that can help you move forward. The second thing I would say is, is there a cause? Is there a cause? In other words, sometimes we get to the place where we are so discouraged, things are not working, and the only thing is to throw in the towel, you know, and just give up.
Yes.
But what can help keep hope alive? Of course, it's Rafiki Mso.
But You can repeat that again louder, Bishop, louder.
But what can really keep hope alive for a leader sometimes is to step away from the situation, step away from the difficulties, step away from the challenges.
Yes.
And refocus. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we are doing? What was this, our original intention? Is it still a valid thing to pursue? You know?
Yes.
So that you remind yourself of the reason for existence. Is it something that is still significant? Is it something that is still worth fighting for? And if you come to the conclusion that you actually have a product, you have to actually have a service, you have a cause that is important, then remove yourself or your focus from the current difficulties and find, is there another way through which we can meet our objectives?
Yes.
That this cause can be fulfilled. And that will help you to start thinking differently. Because maybe you have just reached a dead end, but it is not the end of the road to where you are going.
Yes.
Maybe it means you may need to take a detour and take a different road that could lead you to where you are supposed to go. So the vision and mission of the organization can help you to rekindle hope. Because when you look at why do we exist? Why do we do what we do? The why question usually is inspiring, yes, or should be inspiring.
Yes.
If you are doing things for just the sake of doing, then of course, the first obstacle you meet, you give up.
Mm.
And we know people who have started even businesses because they had, this is where money is. So-and-so was here and they made a lot of money. So they also go into that space. What they didn't know is that that thing requires so much.
Mm.
So they just start on it and they are like, this is not what I bargained for.
Yes.
And they give up. Mm. It means they did not have a cause. They did not have a purpose. They did not have a reason that is enough or strong enough to carry them through the turbulence,
yeah,
to carry them through the obstacles, to help them to navigate the challenges. Only the why question can keep you going against the grain. So if you have the why question, it will help you to review and not give up.
Yes.
Because you are thinking, what is the alternative? If I may use the place where I'm in.
Yes.
You know, the state of corruption in this country is so bad that one can easily get discouraged. And I have many people who have helped me to get discouraged. You know, they encourage me to get discouraged. You
know? Like, Sanballat and Tobias.
They just say, Bishop, just give up on this thing. Just resign. You just leave this thing.
Mm.
But I have looked at the reverse and I say, if I do, what is the alternative? Will things get better because I have given up? And the answer is, I don't think so. I'm not saying that I'm the best in the time, but will my giving up make things better or worse? So the cause helps you to stand against very discouraging circumstances.
Yes.
So look back at, why do you do what you do? Is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth pursuing and pushing on with? If the answer is yes, that will give you hope.
Yes.
That will give you resilience. Mm. That will give you energy to keep going against the all odds. But if you find that it is not worth it, it is not anything that I should die for, then of course, let it go. Let it go, you know. It is not worth sacrificing your life for. So, go back to your vision. Go back to your mission. go back to the why question. Yeah. Why do I do what I do? Is it worth dying for?
Mm.
If it is, hang on in there.
Yes.
And keep going, because it in due course, your efforts will be rewarded.
Mm.
You know, that's yes. what the writer to the Hebrews says. The recompense reward is on its way. So focus on the future, focus on the goal, focus on the objectives, focus on why of the existence. Why do we do what we do? Why do I do what I do? Why am I here?
Yes.
That should help you to refocus. Another thing is, and for me this is what I call the Elijah syndrome. Elijah, those of us who may know this particular story of Elijah, he has confronted the prophets of Baal.
Yes.
And killed all of them and called fire from heaven, consumed. I mean, I wish I could do that today. Sometimes I feel like I could just get the prophets of Baal and kill all of them and show the glory of God. Mm. So that's what Elijah had gone through. And you'd imagine that he would have a great homecoming,
yes.
a great celebration. People would just be lifting him up, you know, and running across the street saying, Elijah, Elijah, Elijah. None of the above.
Mm-mm.
Jezebel hears of it and says, If your head will not remain on your neck, you know, you'll be like the prophets you have killed. And Elijah runs for dear life. And he gets into the bush in the forest and he sits under a tree and he's so discouraged.
Mm.
He has lost all hope. He said, Lord, I just want to die.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm no better than my forefathers.
Mm.
Just let me die. And it's amazing what God comes to tell him. God comes to tell him and ask him, Elijah, why are you so discouraged? And he said, because, you know, I have been so zealous. I've been doing all this work. I've fought the prophets of Baal. No one even appreciates. I'm the only one left. They have killed all the prophets. And God tells him, no, it is not like that. It is not that as bad as you think it is. There are still some 7,000 prophets that are still, is it 7,700? Are prophets that are still have not bowed to Baal. And he tells him, rise up and eat. And he rose up and there was food there. Rise up and drink, and there was water there for him to drink. And he, the Bible says, he drank and he ate and he fell asleep. It means this man was just exhausted.
Yeah.
He was tired. So when our bodies are tired, when we are exhausted, things seem to be bigger than they really are.
Yes.
So sometimes it's good to just take time off and rest. Just go to bed and sleep. I have done that a few times, and by the time you wake up, you find you are refreshed, your mind is sharpened, you can look at things a little more objectively,
yes.
you can think more creatively. But when you are fatigued, your body is fatigued, your body is tired, things look worse or feel worse than perhaps they actually are.
Yes.
So just refresh, eat some food, go for some good meal, sleep, take a chocolate, get some favorite food and just rest. Take time off. And you may find that you get refreshed and you can now look at things from a different perspective, more objectively.
Yes.
Your creative juices may just come back because you are now stronger and more fresh. The other thing is, remember the lions and the bears. Remember the lions and the bears. I'm using a lot of biblical examples.
Yes.
Because I think many of us, being on Hope FM, would identify with those more easily. What are the lions and bears? part of the discouragement we face sometimes as leaders is to be faced with such a huge task, a huge obstacle, that you look at it and you can't see how you could possibly overcome it, how you could possibly deal with that situation. Some of them are situations that threaten to consume you, threaten to finish you together with your organization or together with your company. Remember the lions and the bears. When David, as a small boy, went to the battlefront where King Saul's army were confronted by the Philistine army, and the giant Goliath was across the valley and was shouting and saying, "Give me a man." And the Bible says that when he shouted, the army of Israel would just fall backwards in trembling and fear. And so David comes into this situation and he feels so embarrassed to be a Jew in that situation, because Jews are not supposed to be trembling in the face of other other armies, because they belong to God, you know, so mighty God. So how can you possibly be trembling? So he feels very embarrassed and ashamed that the mighty army of God is trembling in the face of this giant. And he feels something has to be done. And so he tries to bring hope to these people and say, "We can take on this guy." And they are like, "My friend, you're only a boy.
Yes.
You, what do you know?" And they totally refuse to listen to him. But he keeps insisting they send him to the king, King Saul. And when King Saul is told what he was thinking and David explains what he wants to do, Saul tells him, "You know what? Your dreams are valid, but they're not here." This is not possible because the person you are talking about is an accomplished fighter. The person you are talking about is a giant. He's maybe 20 times your size. There's no way you can fight against him. There's no way. And David says, "When I was a shepherd, the lion came and picked my lamb. I followed it, and with my bare hands, I beat it, killed it, and took back my lamb."
Yes.
"When a bear came, I did the same. I followed it, I beat it up with my bare hands, and took back my lamb. The God who helped me with the lion and the bear will also help me with this giant."
Yes.
What David, the principle that David is bringing here, apart from the spiritual angle, is that when we have made certain breakthroughs and successes, no matter how small, they are the platform upon which you can stand to face the bigger ones.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget the successes that we have had before. And when we are faced with a new challenge, it is like you have never done anything like this. So the obstacles and giants that stand in our way have a way of reducing or diminishing or killing our self-efficacy, the belief that we have the capacity to do and to deal with the situation that is before us. So the lion and the bear reminds us that I faced us a situation that was difficult and we overcame. I faced another situation and I overcame. Now, this may be slightly bigger or much bigger, but the same way we did with that is the same way we can confront this.
Yes.
And that very thought rekindles hope. You know, that very thought rekindles your hope that if I succeeded there, if we succeeded there, there is a possibility that we can also succeed with this one.
Yes.
And that stirs hope within us. Yeah, of course, we still don't know what the outcome may be. It is well possible that we may not succeed. But you see, we are talking about hope.
Mm.
It's only hope that can get you to try.
Yes.
You know?
True.
And you can only try because you have looked back and seen other situations where you have been faced with certain circumstances and you have overcome and you have succeeded. Then you can say, "Even this one, let's try." there's a possibility that you can succeed with this one. But if you have never beaten, killed a lion, you have never killed a bear, then you have no point of reference. So you may just find you backtrack and run away from whatever is before you.
Yeah.
So the lion and the bear are a great way to rekindle hope.
Yes.
A great way to believe that, yes, we can do it.
Mm.
It is possible. The outcome is not known. But what you need is the power to move forward.
Yes.
That comes out of that situation. Another related, but now futuristic, is to review the situation. Sometimes we make things look bigger than they actually are. Sit down and just review that situation. Is it as bad as it looks? What is the worst that can happen if we tackle this situation?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
What is the worst that can happen? And sometimes when you ask yourself that kind of a question, you find that the worst is not as bad as you have been thinking. You know? You look at it and say, okay, we may fail and we may not achieve what we want to achieve, but even if we don't, it will not kill us.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I call that the leper's approach.
Yes. We stay, we die, we go, we die.
Yeah, not the way we are going to die.
Yes.
But what is the worst that can happen? Is the worst is they can kill us.
Mm.
But we are dying anyway, so if we stay here, we die. If we go there, we die.
Mm.
So that gave them hope to try. Again, they don't know the outcome, but they are willing to try. Because they have looked at the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario is not any worse than where they are. So sometimes the worst case scenario of what you are fearing is not any worse than where you are. You know?
Yes.
You stay where you are and you are not going to get any better. But perhaps if you try, you could actually succeed.
Yes.
So reviewing the situation, the circumstances, and just thinking, what is the worst thing that can happen? What are the possibilities? What are the options that we have could actually give you hope to try? And hope is what helps us to try, to live on, to continue, not to give up, not to throw in the towel. So, review your situation.
Yes.
What is the worst that can happen? Maybe it is not as bad as you think.
Yes.
They say that, this is the last one I'm going to share. They say that to eat an elephant, what do you do? Start with small pieces.
I almost said kill it.
Of course, after you have killed it, you can't eat a live elephant.
No.
But after you have killed it, you can't eat the whole elephant.
No, you can't.
You start with small pieces.
Yes.
Before you know it, the elephant is finished.
True.
So break down this challenge into manageable pieces. Think of what are some of the small things we could do to help us in this situation. You know, those are approaches that some people use, like during the COVID, you know. One way is to shut down, close, send everybody home. But what if we stayed on, we stayed open, and we take no salary because there's no money? But we remain open. When things turn around, then we'll see what to do. And so everybody is re-energized that the thing is not closing down. I'm not going to lose my job. We are willing to look for other ways of survival, but we are staying afloat.
Yes.
And many organizations survived that way. Some gave part salaries, part payments, some zero, you know. But let's just keep working. Let's keep doing what we are supposed to do. When things turn around, we will see what to do. And sometimes as they stayed on to do the little that they were able to do, they actually gained ground. And in the process, they were able to eat the whole elephant. So eating a little, sometimes we want to tackle the whole problem. And it is just so overwhelming. It's just like, who is equal to this task? But when you break it down into manageable pieces, then you realize that we can do this and we can do this and we can do this. I was telling somebody just the other day that finance experts tell us that the way to manage debt, one of the best ways to manage debt, if you find yourself in the thick of debts, you have borrowed from here and borrowed from there and borrowed from the other place until now your phone is not... you don't want to even pick your phones because everybody who is calling is asking about their money and about their money and about their money. And one of the ways they say the steps towards coming out is pay your small debts first.
Yes.
The person you owe 500 shillings, those people can give you nightmares.
Compared to the one you owe a million.
A million. Yes. You know, those ones will call you once in a while. Grace, how is it going? Any hope, you know?
We are trying.
We are trying.
Yes.
But the one of 500, unakumbuka pesa yangu.
Koja kidogo.
So, sort out those guys to just give you peace. So that you can focus on how to raise the 1 million. But if you don't deal with that, then your phone is constantly ringing and this person is simply calling you for 500 shillings and you feel like, how much do I owe you? You know, that it's just 500 shillings. But for them, you owe them money and they will call you. They are just as entitled as the one you owe, you owe 1,000 shillings and the one you owe 50,000 and 500,000.
Yes.
So sort out these small guys. Because they are easier to sort out. You get some little money, pay the 500, pay the 1,000, pay the 10,000, so that you are left with to focus on the big thing.
Yes.
That alone reduces your stress.
Mm.
You know, it reduces your stress. So when you are faced with an obstacle or challenges or issues, pick out the small things and sort them out. And just that success alone, the day you pay the 500 shilling guy, you know, there's a fulfillment that comes to you.
Yes.
That at least I paid that guy.
I mean, you're okay, you're okay, Lele.
Yeah. So there's a peace that then comes to you and helps you to think more straight, think more constructively, think more creatively on what to do. The day you pay the guy of 10,000, you are even better. You know, you feel much, much better. And it gives you energy to be able to now think of what do I do with the 500,000 guy, you know? So manageable pieces. Tackle those, the problem in manageable pieces. Pick a little, and see how it happens. It may just give you hope and get you back on track. Thank you.
Okay. Practical and doable tips.
Practical.
And
doable.
Yeah. I think that example for the 500 person is still in my... Let's guess.
Oh, those guys will call you in the morning, call you in the afternoon, call you in the middle of the night. You know? You know? And you're like, oh my God.
500 ni kitu ya kusumbua mtu.
Yeah, and they say, yeah, ni pesa yangu na itaji.
Yeah. Okay. So
sort him out and remain now thinking about the other guys.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to question of the day.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Bishop, so let's go back to the questions. Okay. Grace, focus, Sawa. Let's begin with this one. It says, Shalom Bishop, kindly elaborate on the issue of hope, the thin line between real hope that is factual and false hope manipulation, especially in Christian ministry. What are the criteria of real hope? How can one differentiate between the two, especially when the organization is made to sink in reality, lest one is caught up in the, what did you want to say? Vortex? Thank you.
Whatever they want to say. let me answer the part I've understood. There is something we call delusion, where you can see things are going south, but you actually don't want to accept that they are actually going south. So you keep telling, you are a leader, you know, you keep telling your people it is going to be okay.
It is well.
It is well.
In the Christian circle, it is well.
In Christian circles,
yes.
It is well.
Yes.
But you know this thing is not well. It is going down. You can't see how it will turn around. That is delusion. That is pretext. That is whatever it you want to use the word there. That's false hope. Giving your people false hope. A leader should not do that. Be realistic. Put the chips on the table. Allow people to contribute on what we can be done. So hope must be real.
Yeah.
It must be based on reality, you know, things that can actually happen. So we are not talking about delusion. Yeah.
Hope must be real.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackie says, finally, someone is talking about hope. Such a timely message. So, as a family leader, how do you inspire hope to your children? I have noticed that church leaders are trying hard to get members to attend church and fellow meetings. Many are losing hope in the church. How can hope be inspired?
I don't know which hope...
There is hope for children, then hope for members to attend church. It's mumbo-jumbled kind of a question. Yes.
I think we have already talked about how to rekindle hope. Because hope, the person who is inspiring hope must themselves be hopeful. Because the hope is contagious. So that's something that we didn't talk about. Hope is contagious. So when a person listens to me, And I've said this before, human beings, we are not like animals. We have the sixth sense because we have God's spirit in us, each one of us. God breathed his breath in us. So whether you are Christian or not, you have the spirit of God in you. And so we have that spirit, which is able to connect with my spirit and they communicate. So yes. I can be talking to you, but you can sense that I'm not real. I don't mean what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, I'm just faking it. So that will not inspire anybody. So the first thing is that us at a personal level, I must be convinced about what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So that when I communicate it, I communicate it with conviction. That people, even those people who cannot see, they can sense. They can feel it. And that stirs up their hearts. So for me, the greatest is conviction. So even if you talk about, I'm assuming, for example, that part of what he could be talking about in church there is that maybe the children have lost interest in church, or the family has lost interest in church. They say, oh, church, we go there, and they just confuse people and things like that. Are you yourself convinced about the importance and significance of church? Do you talk negatively about church? Because some of us, we come back home and we are reviewing the service, and the only thing we can say is how bad was the choir, how bad the message was. That pastor is just a hypocrite, you know. How do you inspire hope when all that you're saying is how bad the church is? And then you want your children, you want your family to be committed. Going to church is not easy. I can tell you, I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor. Going to church is not easy because it is going against the grain. The devil would want us not to go. So he will bring every little kind of excuse. Today you are so tired. These days you even say, let's watch on TV.
Bedside Baptist.
Bedside Baptist.
Yes.
Or, you know, I'll go next Sunday. We will go next time. That is our natural response. So if you allow those kinds of excuses to come in, there's no way you'll inspire your group to go forward. So you must be first and foremost convinced that this is important. So I would say conviction.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, Bishop and Grace. I once used the Bible verse, a quote, "A living dog is better than a dead lion," during a staff meeting. Our company is going through a very difficult phase. I later clarified I didn't mean our company is a dog. Bishop, stop laughing.
So, yes.
Okay. Calm. I'm in accounts department and I'm not part of management or leadership. Was my quote reasonable or out of order? Ecclesiastes 9:4. I'm working, the organization I'm working for is not a Christian, but has a number of believers.
You see, it is not the quote. Is I know that verse and I've used it. It is not the quote. So it is very difficult to say whether it was right or wrong.
Mm.
It is the context and it is the explanation. Because if the organization is not doing very well, and I was to use that verse,
yes,
it would be a verse of encouragement, in which case I would be saying that we may not be operating optimally as a lion. Okay? But it is okay even to operate at a dog level. In other words, lower than what we would be. You know, what we are reputed to be. We are struggling to remain as a lion, but circumstances are such that actually we are not at that level. So it is better for us to stay afloat and operate at a dog level than to allow ourselves to die, because then we will be a dead lion.
Yeah.
And a dead lion is dead, I mean. He can do nothing. So I think it's a very good verse, in my view, for bringing hope and encouragement. But it depends on how it was quoted, what context, and how it is explained.
Mm.
That's what would make it good or bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both to a believer and an unbeliever.
It doesn't matter whether, because it's like a proverb.
Yes.
It's like a proverb, and a proverb applies to believers and unbelievers. It can apply in any circumstance. And in my view, basically we are saying, instead of shutting down our organization or shutting down this department, or you know, why don't we do whatever we can to keep it afloat? We may not be operating at where we normally would be. We may not be at the reputation that we have as lions, but it is better for us to remain there as we build slowly than to kill it. Because if we kill it, we are basically not there.
Yes,
yeah.
We die.
We are a dead lion.
Okay. Hi. This one says, Bishop, I'm getting from you that what's hope and hopelessness means to an individual is true and also for an organization. My question is, can the same be translated to a nation? And if yes, Bishop, how do you get out of the apathy flowing in our nation today? This is Patrick.
Yes, I actually said that hope at a leadership level can be at the highest level of leadership, whether it is global, local, national, or organizational, or family, or even individual. The principle is the same. So, I did mention that as Kenyans, sometimes we only see the glass half full. Is it half empty? It's half empty. I mean, everything is just bad, bad, bad. I was in a conference last week, as you know,
yes,
in China, It was a global conference bringing together about 170 countries of the world. Basically, we're talking about corruption and the trans-border corruption and the difficulties we face and so on. But that is beside the point. So at break time, we are with these the different African countries. We happen to be standing at the same table. So we introduce each other, where are you from? And then I say, I'm from Kenya. So these Nigerians, there were three of them. And I say, Kenyan. And they knew almost everything about Kenya.
Oh my. With the accent, I can imagine. Yes.
With the names and who is doing what and who has said what and who has done what. And I was like, wow, you really know our country. Mm. And what he said was, this one Nigerian said was profound. He said, you know, Kenyans, you don't know what you have. Mm. I wish I was a Kenyan. You know, you have a very good reputation around the world. Secondly, you have such great leadership in your country. You do things so well and so orderly. We were reading about the things you are able to do. Your democracy is so at such a high level. But you are always talking negatively about yourself. So then he went on and said, you know, for us Nigerians, just the fact of being a Nigerian is a liability.
Oh my.
So he said, even if you go to a meeting and then you introduce yourself as a Nigerian, people pull their bags away from you. You see ladies pulling their bags closer to themselves. They are thinking you are going to take it. You're crossing at an airport, you produce your passport, and when they see Nigeria, they say, stand aside. They want to scrutinize you even more. Mm. And you have nothing. You are an innocent person. You are a good person. You live a good life. But just being a Nigerian, they think you have drugs. Yeah. You think you have a thief. You are. So if I was a Kenyan, I would go everywhere. I would do so much. Because you have such a great country. But you people don't know it. And I had to agree with him. We are so negative about our country. There's such negative vibe out of every Kenyan when we speak that we destroy our nation. Yet we have been given such a great nation. Patrick,
yes.
Start with yourself. Mm. Speak positively about Kenya. God told the Jews who had been taken into exile in Babylon, and he said to them, pray for the city to which I've taken you. Speak well of it, because if it prospers, you also prosper. Now, God was not talking about their country. He was talking about the people who have taken them captive. If a Kenyan is taken captive, my friend, the things they would be saying there, these people. But God is telling these people in their captivity that they should speak well of Babylon.
Yeah.
Imagine. Not just speak well, but pray for Babylon.
Mm.
Because when it prospers, you will also prosper. So, Patrick, you and I, let's speak well of our country and change this negativity that is all over the place.
Okay. We have a minute, Bishop. You could pray for us for hope and not to lose
hope.
There
is no minute even.
It's there. Please pray.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you because you are the God of all hope. And there may be somebody today that you are talking to and listening to us who had lost hope. Hope in their own lives, hope in their family, hope in their business, hope in their organization, perhaps even hope in their country. I pray, dear Father, that you'll rekindle within us that hope that will inspire us to move to the next level in whichever place we find ourselves, because this is the only way to face the future, because we know that our hope derives from the knowledge that God is in control. No matter what the circumstances we may face, He is in control and He's in charge. We thank you, we bless you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Catch a repeat of this program on Saturday right here at Hope FM and anytime at the Hope FM podcast. My name is Grace Mutiso. Shalom. God bless you. We meet next week for Meat of the Word. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.